Hey, hey, happy Thursday, everyone. Happy to welcome you all to another Twitter Spaces. As always, I'll start off with some updates and then pass the floor to Will. So, biggest news of the week, we have launched the roadmap for 2024 yesterday. And of course, you can find it on our blog, but the key points are deeper integrations with the Ethereum ecosystem, improved Oasis developer experience, enhanced Oasis user experience, bolstering network security and resilience, and improved runtime and storage performance. And to give you a bit of a highlight from the article, Oasis has worked to align itself closer with the Ethereum ecosystem with projects such as improvements to the Oasis SDK, adding Ethereum compatible ZKP primitives, and launching the Oasis privacy layer to bring Sapphire's confidentiality to Ethereum and, of course, any other EVM network. So later in the year, we plan to develop a MetaMask snap, add Ether RS support, and the Remix plugin for encrypting transactions on Sapphire. In the second half of the year, our engineers plan to explore validation of Oasis consensus layer state transitions on Ethereum via execution proofs. One key area for the ecosystem is creating a new example dApps. This includes documentation and user guides for a variety of Oasis use cases, including account abstraction, confidential voting, cross-chain intents, key management as a service, and more. And to meet a frequent request from our community, Oasis will be launching both iOS and Android Oasis wallet mobile apps that will, of course, make staking, sending, and receiving rows on the go more convenient and secure. And Oasis key management will also see improvements this year. But of course, there are many other updates and plans in our blog article. So I suggest you go to oasisprotocol.org/blog for more info. Another news is that yesterday we launched a $100,000 bug bounty to discover and mitigate potential security vulnerabilities. This initiative is hosted on Immunify, and Immunify is the leading bug bounty platform for Web3. Our engineering team will, of course, review and qualify valid bug reports, and researchers who participate in submitting valid reports through the bounty program can receive a maximum payout of up to $100,000 for critical security vulnerabilities. And this is starting from $1,000 for medium severity protocol vulnerabilities, $10,000 for high severity vulnerabilities, and between $10,000 and $100,000 for critical severity vulnerabilities. I think that's great news, and I suggest everyone to jump to the opportunity. Tomorrow, February 23rd, marks the start of our Beetle Week hackathon. So from February 23rd to February 28th, we'll host a hackathon with two categories with a total prize of $24,000. The categories are build a dApp on Oasis Sapphire and add privacy to your dApp with OPL. And of course, the winners will be chosen based on the mentioned criteria. I suggest you visit oasisprotocol.org for all the details on this. You can find us at our booth number 215 in Denver from February 29th to March 3rd. And don't forget to join our talking panel. So Harry will give a speech at How to DAO on February 28th at 2:25 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Then we'll have an in-depth panel discussion about TEs on February 29th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. MST. Harry will also discuss, we'll have a discussion about private contracts at ETH Infra Day on March 1st at 3:30 p.m. MST. And also Harry will give a speech at the East Denver Simon stage on next generation contracts also on March 1st at 10 a.m. MST. I think that about covers all the updates for today. So I'll pass the floor to our amazing Will.
Oh, thanks, Minya. Thanks so much. So thank you everyone for joining today. We have an amazing Twitter space today with our recent DEX that launched on Oasis Sapphire, Illuminex. Maybe just to start though, we'll do brief introductions. So I'm Will. I'm the Ecosystem Growth Manager here at Oasis Protocol Foundation. I work with some of our ecosystem teams as well as OPF to help set strategy, prioritization, and do everything we can to grow the ecosystem. So that's a bit about what I do at Oasis. And Lisa, maybe you want to do a brief introduction as well.
Hi everyone. Thanks for joining. Can you hear me well? I have a bit of sore throat today, so let me know if you can hear me well.
Yeah, I think we can hear you well.
I'm Lisa. I'm the co-founder of Illuminex. So I would say I'm some sort of cheerleader in our team. So, again, thank you for inviting me and nice to meet everyone.
Okay. Thank you so much, Liza, for being here. I guess the first question we can ask is just in general, like, what is Illuminex and what distinguishes Illuminex from other DEX platforms in the Web3 ecosystem?
Sure. So I would like to say that, first of all, Illuminex is a completely different kind of solution. And it targets different user group from, like, compared to a traditional DEX that you can find across Web3 ecosystem. So while traditional DEX is trying to optimize their products towards high frequency trading efficiency, we're more focused on user group that needs to move their assets privately between different chains and different assets on those chains. So even though, like, under the hood, Illuminex has pretty similar AMM engine to other DEXs, it is a completely different kind of product. So for example, already now you're able to swap, let's say, from Arbitrum ETH to BSC BNB privately and automatically split received BNB between different wallets to maximize your privacy even further. Well, and of course, avoid different kinds of timing attacks that are targeted to reveal your privacy. And in the nearest future, we're planning to finalize the development of our own cross-chain engine that will support non-EVM chains. And first of all, it will be the Bitcoin, but a bit more on it later.
Yeah, and I think, that vision goes along with everything that we've been doing at Oasis. You know, we have the Sapphire network, which is a privacy-focused network. But in reality, what we've been trying to focus on is the sort of cross-chain use cases of privacy, or the way that we can act as like a privacy layer for all of Web3, with this idea of Opal, which we call the Oasis privacy layer. And I think that, Illuminex fits into this narrative well, being both, supporting native transfers privately on Sapphire, while also enabling, other ecosystems for the first time to access the ability to do private swaps without, like, users really have to be onboarded to the Oasis ecosystem or hold our gas token. But I guess, like, my next question is, what made you build Illuminex? Why do you think privacy is important for DeFi in general? And how does, maybe we go into the next question after that. But yeah, what pushed you to build Illuminex, and why do you have this focus on cross-chain privacy?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty great question. So as DeFi getting more and more adoption, so privacy becomes like more and more significant narrative here. As we all know, the common problem, well, in the DeFi and in the blockchain space in general, and it's also a benefit at the same time for all the blockchain ecosystems, and it's the transparency. So while transparency brings more trust, at the same time, it brings a concern that anyone can track your financial activity, potentially creating a threat for your life as well. So I don't think many people would like their neighbors or just like anyone to see how much money they have or how much they earn and etc. So this is why privacy is an essential topic to anything related to finance, first of all. And combined together with the blockchain technology, it creates an ultimate financial freedom that's what we believe in, and that's why we're focused on privacy first of all.
And then maybe you can just speak on like also the you know optimizations for the cross chain aspects of privacy versus you know obviously inherently they have native Sapphire privacy, but what made you guys decide that you wanted to focus on the cross chain aspect as well?
We believe just that with cross chain aspect we can cover the big market because like Sapphire is relatively new ecosystem. And also by covering like larger markets, by providing the cross-chain service, we can make a funnel to Sapphire as well. So that's why we're so much focused on the cross-chain because it's simply a bigger market that we can catch already now.
Awesome. Yeah. And like I said, I think that, you know, goes right in line with everything that we've been focusing on here at Oasis for the last few years. So my next question is, you know, and this maybe I should ask first, but backing up, why do you think it's important for DeFi to have like non-custodial solutions and to remain trustlessly? Why can't sort of use a centralized exchange or anything like that? Why do you need to use Illuminex for your privacy?
Well, you know, since especially 2022 with the FTX incident and also like with the recent fixed float incident, I think that more and more people are moving like away from centralized exchanges. They're trying to stay away from centralized exchanges. Of course, not in all areas it's possible. Like for example, on and off ramp to fiat or from fiat, it's still not possible. But people are looking for alternatives, for decentralized and non-custodial alternatives, because it's simply statistically way safer than centralized solutions. Because, well, just a story from a friend of mine. It was like, if I remember, in 2021, there was one centralized exchange. I will not call its name, but it's still operating. It's not like very big. But they actually, what they were doing, they were freezing your funds and asking for like endless paperwork for KYC and etc. So they were doing it on purpose, and I think it was some sort of revenue source for them, which is of course pretty illicit, but still the fact that they were doing it. So just like by this example, I think we can say that it's of course better to stick with decentralized and first of all non-custodial solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's sort of, I guess, you know, I do follow like the Chainlink community a lot. And, you know, I think Sergey speaks about this very often. This idea that like the goal of Web3 is to get to the same level of user experience and the same level of sophistication as Web2 or traditional sort of applications today. And once that happens, the trustless nature of blockchain just kind of takes over because there's no reason now to ever use a centralized entity once you have the same level of sophistication and what can be done and once you have the same level of user experience. This ability now for the first time to have confidential state, to have confidential logic, and not just like anonymous or transparent, but like the entire spectrum in between, where you can sort of build things that have differing levels of confidentiality that move across the entire spectrum. And so that's what we're really excited that you know, Illuminex saw that potential and utilized it to build, you know, one, cornerstone of our ecosystem, and two, something that hopefully can expand the horizon of what can be done in Web3. So, you know, after that little diatribe, what I guess it's good to look at what's going on underneath the hood at Illuminex. You know, how are you guys using confidential state? How are you guys using relayers? How is this cross-chain private swap being empowered and enabled?
So Sapphire confidential state technology is the core part of Illuminex, of our unique value proposition. And without it, there wouldn't be as efficient way to create a decentralized alternative to centralized cross-chain privacy exchanges. So when you conduct a cross-chain swap with Illuminex, it first encrypts your swap and output distribution instructions using Oasis Sapphire, and then it sends this encrypted data together with input tokens attached from your source chain, let's say Arbitrum, to Oasis Sapphire. After that, Oasis Sapphire smart contract is processing encrypted payload by privately decrypting it and executing the swap and distribution instructions. So this approach, powered by OASIS Sapphire Confidential State, as well as encryption tools that are also provided by the OASIS Sapphire developer SDK, allow us to make the cross-chain privacy decentralized.
Awesome. And maybe you can go into a bit about, you know, I think users have been a little confused with, you know, the buffer system and the sort of time delay that is required there. Can you maybe speak about why that is so essential for privacy?
Yeah, sure. So this buffer queue system, actually, the purpose of it is to prevent timing attacks. So what is the timing attack? It's like, for example, let's say you swap one rows to some amount of USDT, right? So if the transaction is, like, the swap is being executed immediately, as soon as it gets to Sapphire from the source chain, well, in case with rows, it's just being executed immediately. But if we send the product of the swap, so the output tokens, if we send it immediately to all the outputs addresses, it will be pretty easy for the third-party observer to track and make a connection between the source and the destination. So all the privacy solutions are using some sort of delays. Like, for example, many of, like, traditional decentralized privacy solutions that allow you to just privately transfer tokens within the same chain, they do not have any automated systems for delays, for those kinds of delays. So you have it to do manually there. So you deposit some, let's say, ETH, and then you wait for a while for more people to deposit on top of your position, and then you withdraw, and it's now way harder to tell, like, to make this link between source and destination. So with this buffering system at Illuminix, we just automated this process to make it even more convenient and seamless. So like you don't have to withdraw it manually. It will just automatically wait for more people to conduct swaps or deposit into the same queue. And then the system will automatically execute your transaction when the time comes. So basically, this delay is kind of necessary for privacy. And that's, like, why I mentioned that Illuminix is focused on, first of all, on user group that needs the cross-chain privacy, like, to just privately move assets and not, like, high-frequency trading.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And, yeah, thank you so much for explaining it. I think, yeah, with new novel concepts always comes new education that's necessary, new user experiences. And, yeah, I think the community probably appreciates getting some insights to why this buffer button and this withdrawal button are there. So changing up speeds a bit, you know, now let's talk a little bit more about, like, the go-to-market, what the plans are for the future. Can you maybe speak to what, you know, liquidity providers mean for Illuminix, why it's essential to your platform, and how early liquidity provisions sort of fit into your original go-to-market and moving forward as well?
Yeah, so our mainnet launch was split into three phases to maximize its efficiency and reduce the friction as much as possible. So the first phase was the early liquidity provision, and the main point of it was to have some initial bootstrap liquidity for cross-chain pairs before we opened the swapping functionality for everyone. So, and as promised, early liquidity providers are subject for eligibility for the airdrop, which was one of the main incentives before the core incentive mechanisms went live. So this kind of multi-phase approach allowed us to make the launch smoother than it would be without it. And of course, liquidity is the essential part of this kind of product, because the higher the liquidity is, the lower is the slippage as well as price impact. So with more liquidity, Illuminix is able to provide competitive swap rates compared to centralized cross-chain swapping products.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. So I guess maybe that was the early liquidity provision. Can you speak towards, you know, what liquidity providing will mean for you in the future, and how it helps the platform grow?
Yeah, sure. So after we went live with the last third phase, now we have the TGE in place. So we have our core incentive mechanics working already. So which are the APRs that are incentivizing people to lock their LP tokens, liquidity tokens, for some time, and providing and benefiting the protocol overall. Because as mentioned, the more liquidity we have, the more competitive the rates will be compared to centralized solutions. So I think we just can go further with what our next priorities, and I will just cover it there as well.
Yeah. So in line with that, talking about the future, you guys have launched a mainnet. I think it was a rather successful mainnet launch. What are sort of the future plans to grow and scale Luminex, and what's next up on the agenda?
So right now, as it's stated in it's actually pinned in our Twitter feed, the most recent Medium article, we're focused on growing liquidity, as I also mentioned, why it's important to minimize the slippage for cross-chain pairs. So as it's the core part of Luminex, of course. So yesterday we have deployed an update which automatically gives one rose to anyone who bridges from any chain to Oasis Sapphire using Luminex. So this approach will improve the liquidity provider's onboarding experience and increase the overall liquidity together with the core incentive mechanism. So as also stated in the Medium article, after the liquidity growth, we plan to focus on improving the user base growth efficiency by introducing the referral program. So this referral program would allow us to engage smaller and mid-sized communities to spread the word about Luminex, which will lead to more organic and stable growth as we see it. So in terms of bigger developments, our next priority is to focus on non-EVM chain support, as mentioned, and Bitcoin is the first integration as a part of our cross-chain engine implementation. So as you probably already heard, one of the biggest centralized cross-chain exchanges went down recently, which was the Fixed Float. And we believe that bringing a decentralized and non-custodial confidential solution that is also supporting Bitcoin and other demanded non-EVM chains is something far more superior than people got used to.
Yeah. I think, I saw the Fixed Float news and I immediately thought of Luminex, and this is the exact problem that you're trying to solve. It's sort of like calling your shot. It's like you guys were launching and speaking about this problem, speaking about being a decentralized Fixed Float, speaking about why decentralization is necessary, and then sort of the reality of that all unfolded in front of us. I do have one follow-up question to what you just said, and I think it's a really interesting piece of tech. Maybe it's a little too tech-heavy, but hopefully the users will appreciate it. How do you guys plan to do the Bitcoin sort of adding to Luminex? Because, other EVM chains are not able to do such things. So what about Sapphire uniquely enables you to actually connect to non-EVM chains?
That's actually a pretty great question. So I think I should start with how usually bridges that already support Bitcoin, how they implement it, and why the confidential state that Sapphire brings changes the game here. So regular bridges are working just by the consensus. Let's say you have four different validators, and if majority of those validators agree that some event on some source chain has happened, then everyone assumes it happened. And of course, if majority of the validators are compromised, it will lead to the entire bridge being compromised. Here is how we utilize Oasis Sapphire to change it. Basically, it allows us, the confidential state allows us to re-implement Bitcoin lightweight node from scratch on the smart contract level and prove that some deposit on Bitcoin network has happened, because we are able to verify that the block was actually mined by the real Bitcoin hash rate and by the real Bitcoin mining power, of course, with few blocks on top as confirmations. So by utilizing confidential state, we're now able to do it, and it wouldn't be possible on any other chain.
Awesome. Thank you for that explanation. You know, and that's, I think, one of the most exciting things about Sapphire. And you can even use that sort of logic with EVM chains as well. And so that, I think that opens up like new possibilities again in what can be done in Web3. It just gives developers options in what they build and whether they want to use Bridge or whether they want to use sort of these light client approaches. And we're even looking at OPF into some other options besides light clients that will give similar functionality. So my next question was, you know, and this is just getting into, again, I guess some of your launch, but how did like the OPF support impact your development and your growth trajectory at Illuminex? You know, what was sort of your developer experience like on Sapphire? And if you know, you had feedback for us, what would it be?
So first of all, I want to say that the support from Oasis is something we really appreciate very much. And during the time we have worked together, we have been like in contact at a nearly daily basis, discussing different ideas regarding the product, marketing, the vision, and any like technical related terms. So it has made building really a pleasure for us. So I think for anyone who is looking to build something on Sapphire, just reach out to the team and you can start brainstorming. And it's like a pretty different experience in terms of communication from what you can get on like majority of other ecosystem, I would say.
And we appreciate those words. I guess just following up, you know, not beyond like the OPF support, you know, what was the experience like just building on Sapphire, like learning this new privacy technology? What were some of the challenges that you ran into, and what were some of the benefits or some of the, you know, takeaways that you would share with other developers?
I think that's the approach of, you know, making EVM confidential is something really novel, because like, you know, there are like different projects that were trying to do something similar, but they were not able to bring EVM to the, like bring confidentiality to the EVM, because they usually stick with the zero knowledge approach, which is bringing a lot of limitations and blockers, because of like zero knowledge technology is like far more complicated, but it's actually, I would say, downside of the zero knowledge technology in this case, at least. So the approach with taking trusted execution environments combined with like Solidity and EVM under the hood as the interface with this technology is something that made the work much easier for us, because we like literally can use our knowledge with how to like write smart contracts on Solidity and how it works. We could bring it already to life with Sapphire. And for confidentiality, well, the only thing that you need to like learn a little bit about is the confidentiality part, but it's like not complicated. Basically, it's fully compatible with Solidity and like all the cryptography primitives and cryptography pre-compiled functions that are provided by the Sapphire SDK are pretty pretty accessible, so you can easily use them with your smart contract. So you just need to be careful that you do not leak any confidential state anywhere, like with some events or whatever. And like it's the only thing that you need to like pay attention that is not like you know, default for other EVM chains. But it's actually the upside here.
Yeah. And then maybe like, you know, get into like besides just the upsides, but maybe are there any key takeaways? Were there any challenges that you ran into, but then like you would say like you learned, and once you learned it became clear like that you would like to share with other developers? You know, we'd love to give them a better understanding of the experience.
Well, honestly, I would say the only probably struggle we had was this like signature pop-up when you do the confidential read-only call. You need to sign this call, and we had to make some kind of workaround with 24-hour sessions, like we already like it's already like live, and when you accessing the wallet page on Illuminex, you need to authorize it only once per 24 hours. And that's it. I think it's the only challenge. Well, not challenge, but like something that was required to be like a bit more developed. But otherwise, it's like pretty much the same experience as other EVM chains.
Oh, awesome. I mean, that's great to hear. And yeah, I think like these sort of nuances with EIP 712 and stuff like that, it does take a minute to get your head around. But once you do, you understand sort of the benefit here, like the how it works with Sapphire, as well as, you know, that it actually, you know, you can create a way to have the same user experience or pretty similar user experience to other EVM chains while having privacy. So you get extra benefit without sacrificing anything. So we did have one question from a pretty prominent audience member today, Andy from the Rollup. Andy, do you what was your question? Or maybe you want to introduce yourself first and then ask.
Hey guys, what's up? Yeah, thanks for having me, Will. Big fans of Oasis and Illuminex. Been in the space doing DeFi education for like 3-4 years, and now running a education company called The Rollup with a focus on rollups, modular blockchains, DeFi, on-chain tutorials, podcasts. We've done about 130 podcasts. And yeah, I just have a question that like, we've been seeing big time in our face in these interviews that we're doing, which is like in this kind of cross-chain world, in this modular blockchain world, with a ton of different new chains and new roll-ups launching EVM or non-EVM compatible. We're seeing this idea of like privacy being baked in as part of the stack. So different chains will launch with privacy embedded. Rollup as a service providers will offer privacy, RPCs or different things kind of embedded into the stack. So I think finally this desire for having privacy on chain is really coming to the forefront of users' minds as well as the builders and developers. So my question to you is, what does privacy on-chain and users' interactions enable for the cross-chain future that we don't see now in this current kind of fully transparent ecosystem on-chain?
Yeah, Liza, do you want to maybe answer first and I can give my thoughts as well?
I think you can go first.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of just privacy in general, I think similar to what I said earlier, but I think that what privacy does is it enables us to reach a new level of sophistication and user experience that brings us closer to what exists in Web 2. In my mind, it's somewhat similar to what oracles did, right? We saw that, you know, Chainlink and other Oracle services came out in 2020, and now DeFi was possible. You know, it wasn't really possible before. Price feeds and the ability to have a decentralized, secure way of making sure that, you know, these rugs don't happen and things like that. And then once we did that, once it came, we saw a massive expansion in like what was possible in Web3, and we saw money market lending protocols, synthetic assets and things of that nature. VRF came later, and that brought gaming. You know, as we add these sort of tools, you know, we expand what can be done in Web3. That's what I think privacy does as well. So like, if you want to build, social media, I know Lens Protocol is working on it and they're doing some really cool things with Lit, but in my mind, like you really need privacy, right? Like if I have a Twitter or I have an Instagram or Facebook, I want the ability to say, I don't want certain people to see certain content and I want certain people to see certain content. And so that means that you can't just have a transparent chain. You have to have privacy. Not only do you need to have privacy, but you need to have like flexible privacy in the sense that you need the ability. Like sometimes the way I think about zero knowledge is that, you know, it does enable like almost a higher level of privacy, like anonymity, but it's also sort of binary. It's like either things are transparent or things are entirely private. And there's sort of no in between. Now, I know there's work being done and things are improving every day in ZK. I think that ZK is an incredible technology. So and that it's synergistic actually with what we are building. We have some zero knowledge ideas to improve all the privacy that we can do. So in no way is this like an attack on zero knowledge or any way a competition. But I do think
that like right now what is needed is actually this composable privacy that goes across the spectrum. Another use case that, you know, might make it seem more a better example is like if you want to build Web3 Uber, like right now the way that would exist on transparent chains is, you know, you would need to have basically everyone would see where you're going every day. They get to see how much money you're spending, where you're going, and things of this nature. And Uber is interesting because it's like built on like different components. You know, there's a payment protocol, there's a messaging protocol, there's a there's a GPS aspect to it. All of them have different levels of privacy. And so what Oasis offers with our flexible privacy is the ability to, for each one of those aspects to be tailored to the exact level of confidentiality that's needed. And so that you can build these sort of more sophisticated platforms that exist in Web3. Then in the cross-chain world, I think where Oasis fits in and what Illuminex has sort of jumped in on is this idea that, you know, the chain itself doesn't have to be the only one that benefits. You know, we can offer privacy services. We can offer the ability to do confidential computation. And so you can have something where you have a DAO, let's say Aave, that exists on Ethereum, right? And the DAO, that's where all the liquidity is. So if you want, you don't want to move your entire DAO over to Sapphire because there's not a lot to do here at the moment. We're still a new ecosystem. And there's not going to be much use for having your hundreds of millions of dollars in your DAO over here on Sapphire. But maybe you want to enable confidential voting. You know, I think Ari Jules and a few others have spoke recently about, you know, the fact that confidential voting is necessary to increase decentralization and mitigate the risk of bias and sort of retribution in DAOs. So what you can do with Oasis now for the first time is connect your DAO on Ethereum to Oasis, where your liquidity exists on Ethereum, but the vote happens on Oasis confidentially. And I think this is sort of the future. You know, it speaks a lot to what you always talk about, Andy, which is modular blockchains. I think this is modular dApps, where you can maybe have, you know, transparent execution happen cheaply on Arbitrum, confidential execution happen confidentially on Sapphire, and then settlement happen on Ethereum. And so like the last narrative, last bull market was sort of modular blockchains. I think the narrative in this bull market will be modular applications.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it goes hand in hand. You know, we'll see applications be launched across a variety of different chains. And a couple of your points stood out. One being like, with the Uber example, similar to like something like owning a house with a mortgage, like do you really want your mortgage payment information on chain that's like also linked to your ID, right? Different things like this. Many people have different bank accounts, and kind of one mental model that I see Oasis Sapphire really fitting in the future is, I think in this world where we get a lot more users on chain to store assets on blockchains rather than in their bank accounts, I think that we see similar setups to users and normal people in today's world, which you have a savings account, a checking account, a retirement account, a stock account. You've got maybe two or three credit cards, and you have those accounts. And so I think you can actually take that mental model and put it on the blockchain where some of your accounts, you may not mind if they have if they're on open, transparent blockchains that may or may not be connected to your ID. But then something like a savings account or something like your mortgage or something like your stock account or other private information, you'd want to store these on accounts, aka chains, which have privacy kind of baked in. So I think there's going to be a strong call for kind of both use cases. And I think that we'll see applications, as you say, in a modular fashion across each of these different chains, where some of them are encrypted on one chain and some aren't. And so we can kind of think about this mental model as, okay, if the total addressable market for blockchains is bringing all assets off-chain, on-chain, then the total addressable market for Oasis, Sapphire, and privacy-baked chains is the total assets that people want to keep private, which I know personally is a lot of what I currently have or what I would want if I was in the position of kind of like a normal consumer. Obviously, I'm all in crypto. So, I mean, I just have to work with what I got on chain over here. But what I'm saying is that addressable market for privacy and that demand, I think, could be substantial. And so very excited to see this come live recently. And I hope that we see more and more innovations in this kind of private chain sector. And I think that'll be a big selling point for people who don't want to bring assets on chain if they can't keep them private.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you for the kind words. You know, I couldn't agree more. I think Liza probably believes the same thing. It's entirely aligned with their vision over at Illuminex. Yeah, just appreciate you sharing your thoughts and participating in the space and giving support to both Oasis and Illuminex in the past and hopefully again in the future.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I just had one more question for you, Liza. It was, you know, kind of brought on by Andy, but I'd love to know, like, what other privacy applications you would like to see? Maybe which ones, you know, would enhance the user experience of Illuminex or, you know, make it more interoperable with other chains or just make it more interoperable with, you know, or more beneficial for the ecosystem on Sapphire?
Well, I would say not really about Illuminex, but more about my personal opinion where it could be pretty much well applicable. I think that GambleFi is a pretty big market and industry, and the privacy is the essential thing there. So I think, well, we know that in crypto there are already many like gambling products. Like, for example, I don't know what you, for example, is one of the examples what you can build with the confidential state is a non-custodial poker game, for example. And I think it potentially has a pretty big potential. So it's a pretty big market, I think.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought you were going to go more the DeFi route. But yeah, absolutely. You know, I've thought about poker a lot too. And one of the things I think is interesting about poker is that, again, you can do it without bringing your assets all the way to Sapphire. You can sort of have a vault contract on Ethereum where everyone deposits. And they can sort of play the game on Sapphire. All it would take is one switch of the network to MetaMask, and you can even probably pay with the gas token on Ethereum the entire time for all your bets and stuff like that. And then at the end of the game, whenever you want to withdraw, it sends a message back to that vault contract on Ethereum, and you just get your assets. And I've thought about that use case a lot, you know, because you know, PokerStars and all, pretty much every poker platform in the past has had you know, issues with centralization. I think famously PokerStars had like this God key thing where a few players on the network were able to actually see everyone's cards. And so, you know, I've heard people talk in the past about, you know, Web3 poker, but like then the actual poker is played off chain and only the blockchain is used for settlement, but that doesn't solve any of the issues that we've seen so far with decentralization. So yeah, I like the use case. I think for me, my favorite use case maybe is like probably split between confidential lending. I think confidential lending is hard because unfortunately, like you need liquidations, and liquidations are, if you need to see the position of the liquidation, then how is it private? I think that's still a challenge. The best way to put that together, but I would love to see like a USDC or a USDT, which is wrapped in maybe the Illuminex privacy wrapper or maybe their own standard, where people can sort of do these cross, similar to what you're doing with cross-chain trading, but where they can do cross-chain sends of, you know, a one-to-one backed stablecoin, and, you know, maybe USDC can see every transaction, but your neighbor can't see any transaction. And then this way USDC still stays compliant. This at the same level they're compliant on any other transparent network. But at the same time, we get the privacy guarantees that, you know, your neighbors and your friends can't see everything that you're doing on chain. And so in that way, you know, speaks back to the idea that, you know, we've now equaled at that point the privacy guarantees, if not improved the privacy guarantees that Web2 offers today with things like Venmo and Cash App and stuff like that. And so that would be probably mine. But anyway, I think that's about it for our call. It's been about 45 minutes. Are there any like last things that you want to share with the community, Liza?
I think that's it. And like it should be like exciting week this week and the next week. So stay tuned and turn on the notifications for our announcements.
Awesome. Yeah. And please participate in their liquidity provider referral program and keep up to date by following their Twitter with everything else that's going on. Again, for anyone who's going to be at Denver, please stop by the booth, say hello, let us know what your thoughts are on privacy, on Oasis, on Luminex. We're happy to talk with you and we hope to see a lot of you guys there. Anyway, thank you everyone for coming to the space today, and I hope you all have a great day.